Well, it is Good Friday. And as Karen just sang, Jesus chose to walk down the Via Dolorosa, the way of pain, for you and for I, out of love. The most popular verse in Scripture, John 3:16, says that for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It is out of love that God came as a man. It is out of love for you and I that he died on a cross. And in order to be able to understand that, we need to go back to the beginning. Because when God made the universe, he made it very good. And what God calls very good is perfect. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no pain. There was no suffering. There was no sorrow. And then Adam and Eve, the first two human beings, decided to break one of God's commands. He only gave them three commands: to be fruitful and multiply, tend the garden as God's emissary, and then don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, because of them breaking that one command, everything that is wrong in the world is here. We are in the middle of suffering and pain and tension, disease and death and decay because of sin. We talked about that on Palm Sunday, where every problem we have is at its root a sin problem. It is at its root and at its core a problem caused by what Adam and Eve did. And since then, for millennia and generations, we have suffered anguish and pain. And it's in times like these that we can start to wonder, where is God in the midst of all that suffering? I want you to know that God didn't just watch us suffer. God didn't just let us live in the world of pain. He walked down the Via Dolorosa. He walked down the way of pain with us. He became human with us. And this is what we remember on Good Friday. But why do we call it Good Friday? This was the day when all suffering of humanity came in upon the God-man, upon Jesus Christ. When we talk about somebody going to a cross, a bloody cross, to die for what we did, how could this be good? Because of what he did, there is now hope. Because he died in our place, we may die physical death, but spiritual life is ours. Because of what he did at the end of the Via Dolorosa, once he got to Golgotha, to Calvary, he was placed upon a cross. God and man united into one being, dying in our place. God's justice was satisfied. His wrath was poured out on Christ that you and I and the whole world deserved. And he died in our place, taking on him the punishment we all deserved. This was spoken of hundreds of years before Jesus walked on the face of the earth. This was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 53, he says, "Who has believed what he has heard from us? And whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was caught off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for transgressors. See, the reality is, friends, that ultimately every wrong thing that we do is not against others, and it's not against a system, it's not against government, it's against the God who created us in his image to be perfect. And yet we still sin. We have broken his law, and it is against him. He gave us life to reflect his image to this world. And we sinned. And we deserve an eternity apart from him because of that sin. That's why it is so important that we understand what happened. It had to be God-man to die in our place, because if Jesus was just a normal human being, his life was nothing more than the casualty of sin and death that humanity brought into the world. But he was God-man. But he also had to be man, because if he wasn't, he wouldn't be able to die. If he was only God, he would be immortal, and he would never be able to suffer in our place. He had to be God because he had to be perfect. Only a perfect sacrifice would work to die in our place. I can't die for your sins, and you can't die for mine, because you've got your own to pay for, and so do I. Each one of us do. That is why it is so important that Jesus Christ died in our place. He alone could offer that sacrifice and pay the penalty for our sin, that we now have access to the infinite and wonderful grace of God. But it took his death to make that happen. It took him dying on a cross. And for that we mourn. And I know it's difficult to understand. How does that work? Well, Scripture says that it's his blood that saves us, and that's a great picture. Have you ever gotten a blood transfusion? Have you ever received an organ, or maybe even donated one or given some blood? It's because the person either doesn't have enough of their own, or because theirs is tainted, that they need that help. Well, we needed it everywhere. We needed a complete replacement of who we are. Because we died with Christ, as Paul says, we now live. It's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. We need that covering. As we're in quarantine right now, we need that covering. We need that something to help us survive. You know, we have these little devices that we put over our faces that keep the germs from getting out, or even some from getting in. That's what Jesus is for us spiritually. He covers us. He takes our purity from coming out, and he takes it on himself, our impurities, and pays the penalty for it so that others don't have to and we don't have to. Friends, he died in your place. This is Good Friday. Let me encourage you to make this the best Friday ever. Let me encourage you to place your life in the hands of the one who gave his for you. Our Jesus died for what we did. Yes, God is a righteous judge that looks down on us and says, "You have broken my law." But he is also the God that says, "I will come to you and I will fulfill the law and die in your stead." He loves you that much. The song you're about to hear brings me to tears every time I hear it, because it's a vivid reminder that every ounce of pain that Jesus suffered, and it was so much more than just physical pain, the spiritual pain and the emotional pain of God the Father and God the Son for the first time since eternity past, having a distance between them, that God the Son would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me?" That's a pain you and I could never understand. Let this song be a prayer to God. If you have never placed your life in God's hands, let this be your prayer to him, that you recognize that everything he went through, you and I deserve. Christian, if you are a believer right now, let me encourage you to take this time to praise God for what he's done for you. When this world is going absolutely chaotic and things are hard and things are challenging, it's so easy to get caught up in the world around us and we forget about the Lord who died for us. That right now, we have everything to rejoice over, especially when it comes to Sunday. But let's not rush ahead. It's still Friday. Sunday's coming, but we're in Friday. Let's take this time to remember the painful agony that our sin deserved, the separation from God. Would you join with me in prayer? God, our Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for not leaving us to wallow in our sin and guilt. Lord, would you give us a fresh perspective of the cross? It's an old message, but Lord, it is always important. It is always relevant. It is always fresh because it is something that we will always need. Thank you for dying in our place. Thank you for giving yourself for us. Lord, may we truly come to grips with the severity of our sin. Spirit, would you convict our hearts of sin that made the cross even necessary? Would you give us a clean heart? Would you give us a true appreciation for the Via Dolorosa, the way of pain that you went through because you told us you loved us, and you still do? Would you be at work in people's minds and hearts that are watching right now from home that normally wouldn't hear this? God, we thank you for this opportunity to reach into homes and people's lives like never before. God, would you use this even now to speak love into people's lives through us. That it's not just words. You actually came and proved your love for us when you died for us. God, that's unfathomable. I don't even understand how you love us that much. But we are so appreciative that you do. We pray all this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.